Brothers and sisters in Christ, and GCN viewers and believers who are attending this service through various media, this is the third session of the message entitled Love. In the last session, we measured the length of the magnitude of God's love. First of all, the love that God has shown us is not the low-level love of the flesh. God showed the love of the highest level of the Spirit by giving His only Son, Jesus, as the peace offering for us. Today, I'd like to tell you about the patience of God's love, and on that base, I'll tell you how deep God's love is. You will understand the magnitude of God's love more clearly through this message, and I pray in the name of the Lord that you will not just learn it as knowledge, but dwell in that love of God deeply, and you'll always be full of God's love in you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I once heard that when people asked kindergarten children to choose between coins and bills, most of them chose coins. The children thought only the coins which they had used before and checked the value themselves were real money. However, if somebody gives millions of dollars in bills to these children, how would they react? They wouldn't understand how big that money is, and they wouldn't be thankful for it either. On the contrary, if somebody gives millions of dollars to a person who has been doing business and is in a situation to go bankrupt due to financial difficulty, that money can save this man from the danger of bankruptcy, and he will be able to start his business again. He will be choked with tears coming out from the thanks to the one who gave him the money, and he will probably want to pay back the grace for the rest of his life. In the Lord, we should not trade money, right? But however, while living on this earth, sometimes we need money desperately. For example, for medical treatment, or you need money for giving someone. In those times, if somebody gives you a lot of money without any condition, then you will never forget the grace, and you will imprint that grace in your heart. Likewise, about the love of God too, each person feels it in a different measure, and they express different magnitudes, thanks. Because the love of God is too big to be found in this world or to be compared with any other kind of love, we cannot feel it even with so many explanations. If somebody experienced the crisis of a danger of bankruptcy, and he receives money from someone else for without any condition, then he will feel the love and grace he received, and he will imprint that grace in his heart. But because you haven't experienced such thing. Well, many of you haven't had this kind of experience, like bankruptcy in your business. So you feel different. You cannot feel the same emotion that the one who were about to have bankrupt, the same feeling. So, because the love of God is too big to be found in this world, we cannot feel it even with so many explanations. Of course, we know about it as knowledge, but we can understand the magnitude of that love in our heart to the extent that we feel and experience it. About this, Jesus said in Luke 7:47, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." This is the verse I like. Those who are forgiven much love much. Have you received much love? I believe you received much love. Then we have to love much. I love this verse and I memorized this verse. It's Luke 7:47. I memorized with the number of verse in a chapter and name of the gospel book. I memorized this verse in a special way. Well, because I received forgiveness with through His much love, so I decide to love God all the more. But Romans 6:1-2 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That's right. We cannot sin more in order to increase grace. The gravity of each sin is different. But anyways, people were all sinners who were destined to die. As James 4:6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God's grace increases to the extent that we humble our hearts. If the surface area of the bottom of two balls is the same, one that has greater depth can hold more contents than the other one. Likewise, we have already received measureless and limitless love, but we can hold that love of God only to the extent that we empty ourselves and humble the vessel of our heart. We have to remember this. There is a person who filled his heart by humbling himself, emptying himself. He is Paul the Apostle. He humbled himself. Also, he confessed that he was the foremost of our sinners, and he said he was like the one untimely born. If you say someone to someone as the one untimely born, then he will feel aggressive. But anyways, the Apostle Paul lived his life with this humble heart, and he could feel the heart of God filling his heart. This is not just the love from Father God. When we live with this heart, then Father God gives and fills our heart like this. But I will tell you about the length of God's love first. Brothers and sisters, if we were to measure the length of God's love, how long do you think it'd be? Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. To say something is everlasting means there is no end or limit to it. Because God's love for His children is endless and limitless love, He is also said to draw His children with loving kindness. A father's love that is defined by his everlasting love and loving kindness are specifically portrayed as patience. When people normally refer to patience, they're referring to suppressing their anger even in times when they face anger-provoking situations. They say to themselves, God's word says I need to have patience, so I will be patient, and are patient with great difficulty. They may endure, but they endure it in evil. Then some of them burst anger after all, saying, it's enough. On the contrary, because there is no evil in God, there really is no reason for Him to be patient. What do you think being patient means for God? God's enduring for each person He has created until the end of Gehalma cultivation is what it means to be patient for Him. If God had not been patient, human cultivation would not have continued to this day. In Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8, recorded the Noah's flood. However, in chapter 6 of Genesis, God destroyed the world with flood, but God decided that He would not destroy the earth ever again. And then He showed the rainbow as His promise. If you read this word, you feel the love of God. Father God, well, it's not recorded that God regretted, but we can feel His love, that He, His heart through these words. So He expressed His love like this. Also, Genesis chapter 18, there is the destruction of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's been waiting. After long patience, He had to made up His mind to destroy the cities. To make a decision, in the procedure, Abraham asked for saving them. Ask if there are 50 righteous men, if there are 40, 30, 10. How would our Father God feel when Abraham asked like that? I think Father God would feel like keep asking once more. So it's the Father God's love. It's the Father God's heart. Father God probably waited for Abraham to ask more and more. He would not say, "How could you ask such things to me?" He's been waiting with patience, and He checked everything through by sending the angels for the last time, until He decided the destruction of the cities. He checked. Father God tried to find every way to forgive the cities before destroying them. About 10 years ago, someone asked me to officiate the wedding. So I led the meeting, and on Saturday, it was wedding. There was a wedding. And on Thursday before the wedding, the person came to me and asked me for for leading the ceremony. I didn't know. It was like 3 days before the wedding. But I said it would be better if he could find someone else. But that person pronounced about this, so I couldn't change that. And senior pastor knew that situation, and he said, "How you couldn't know the situation?" And And on Saturday, I led the wedding ceremony while praying. I couldn't help but leading the ceremony, thinking of the families and the relatives who are unbelievers. So I officiated the ceremony. And on Sunday, the next wedding, I met senior pastor in the morning. While I was waiting for him to come, I mean, I met a senior pastor. Usually, he does not look at me as soon as he arrives. But on that day, he looked at me and asked, "What happened? I mean, how did you do the wedding with the wedding?" He was worried about this ceremony. Did Pastor Hyun-chul Joo lead the ceremony or not? He'd been thinking about this overnight. So in the morning, he asked me how I did, how I led the ceremony. So I said, "Senior Pastor, I did lead the ceremony." Then he did not say anything. I remember this scene, and when I think about this scene, I feel the grace and love. But by justice, I should not lead the ceremony. But by the love over justice, it was the right to lead the ceremony. At this time, let's check ourselves how much we are patient for others. Once you hear something, you tell it to others, and you deliver to others, and you judge others. It's not patience. Without checking the fact, if someone says this, you should check if the one says or not. So without checking it, if you just pass judgment, then it is far from the love, the heart of love of Father God. For God to have created man and tried each person until he came forth as God's child, God needed to be patient. Even when people committed evil, God was patient until they were transformed into good. Even when people betrayed him and worshipped detestable idols, God has kept revealing to them that he is the true God and has been waiting for them to return. Exodus chapter 33:11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to what we can see here is that Abraham was not the only one who was recognized as God's friend. John 15:14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." As it says, the fathers of faith such as Moses, Enoch, and Elijah, who acted perfectly according to God's will with their true love for God, can also be called friends of God. Until Moses became God's friend, God had been patient. Until Moses became the leader of Israel at the time of the Exodus, we know that God had prudently interfered with every aspect of Moses' life and invested just much time for Moses. God had selected Moses from the time before his birth, and as soon as he was born, God put Moses in the path to leadership. How did he prepare? When he was floated in the basket on the Nile, Father God prepared the princess of Pharaoh. Let him live and let him grow in the palace of Pharaoh. Father God pre-knew all this and he prepared all this for Moses. How about our church? Our Father God prepared everything for this church. He has been leading this church. Also, he prepared this blessing time. And after this time of blessing, God prepared everything after this time. There is nothing he didn't know. He is never puzzled about what's happening. Our Father God pre-knew everything and prepared everything in advance. We have to be confident of this. Acts 7:22 says, Moses was educated in all the learning of Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. He was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, so that he was a man of power in the words and deeds. God called upon him to give him a very important duty of bringing the Israelites of Egypt. From the fact that he did not call Moses when he was the son of the Pharaoh's princess, but when he was an ordinary shepherd, we can see God's love and patience. When he was the son of Pharaoh's princess, Moses' external qualifications might have been enough for him to become a leader. But he was a fleshly man who was unable to control his heart and killed another person on purpose. If God had used Moses during that time, Moses would have relied more on his own strength and ability and tried to do everything his way instead of trusting in God. As God knew all this in advance, he decided to wait for another 40 years until Moses destroyed his righteousness and arrogance, and until Moses became a man trusting in him, God was patient. What kind of man had Moses become by the time God called him? His self that had existed before was no more. Moses had humbled himself as much as he could say, please, Lord, now send a message by whomever you will. There's a records about the long conversation between God and man. It's the conversation between God and Moses. In Exodus chapter 3 and 4, there is a records about a conversation, a long conversation between God and man. Moses, when God says something, then Moses says something. He said humbly, please, Lord, now send a message by whomever you will. Then God said, Moses, you can. It's a very lovely a conversation between God and Moses. God called on this Moses and had him lead millions of people of Israel. As we can see with the case of Moses, until each person came forth as God's true child, until they came forth as his servants, so wielding his power, and until they came forth as spiritual leaders, he recognized God invests much time and waits in great anticipation. God's been waiting for every one of us. While preparing for this message, I thought this, Father God is waiting for me, myself, for 37 years. Since the opening of this church, I've been here with money. So for 37 years, he's been waiting for me. In 1985, I went to the seminary. And from that time on, Father God has been waiting for me for 34 years. Also, I remember the time I came to Seoul and I came to follow my senior pastor. It's about 40 years and our senior pastor and our Father God has been waiting for me for that time. I felt the love and grace through the thought. Brothers and sisters, elders and leaders, how much have our God been waiting for you? Feel that love. This is our senior pastor's confession. As I have accomplished God's kingdom to this day, I could understand even a little what is meant for God to be patient. I can clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and as God tells me anything in detail when I ask Him in prayer, I know many people's heart and their deeds. I have mourned many times, but even if their faith was little and their personality flawed, I have anticipated for them to become good vessels one day and kept my eye on them by faith. As God has entrusted to me these precious pastors, ministers, and sheep, I have only waited for them to be transformed. Until their deeds became perfect, I preached the gospel of sanctification and never stopped praying for them. Even if they were flawed in many ways and required much refinement, I remained patient with them by faith. And in the end, they grew up to become good workers of God. Even in keeping the sinners in my heart in my prayer, I never set a deadline and said to myself, I will give him a year and I will give her 10 years. I've been patiently looking at him with the eyes of faith. So I understand what 2 Peter 3:8 means. It says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. I hope each of you here will understand the level of the love of our Father God, who is patient with us for people of the flesh and for an amount of time that is unimaginably long, but who also considers even the longest time to be put very short in His overflowing love for you and me. Have you ever gone fishing? I think some of you have experienced fishing. In my off time, I liked going fishing. There are fishers. There are people who go fishing very often, and there are professional fishers. There are specialists. So between specialists, fishers. And the fishers, people who go fishing for fun, there are big difference. We need skills to fish. For example, if the fishers fish all night, they do not feel bored. Even they do not catch a fish overnight, they do not get disappointed. Even though they do not catch any fish overnight, they do not be disappointed, and they do not decide not to come here, not to fish again. Once they if they don't catch a fish for an hour or 2 hours and several hours, they do not get disappointed. They just decide they will do until they get fish. Even though they catch a small size of fish, they do not get disappointed. They just draw the they just start to fish again with the hope that they catch a bigger size of fish.
Uh,
So let's become a specialist in our area. We should become the specialist in love. If you become the specialist in love like that, you will never give up. So Father God is waiting for us with anticipation, with that much love. I hope you can understand this love. Secondly, I will explain about the depths of God's love. When I explain to you about the love of God in the view of death, I hope in the name of the Lord that you will realize the love of God for you more deeply and give thanks for that love more deeply. First, how can we understand the depths of God's love? We can understand the depths of God's love from Jesus' teaching in Matthew 18:21-22, saying, but up to 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is not just forgiving 490 times. In fact, it is difficult to find a person who can forgive other people who have done wrong 490 times. But this verse has deeper spiritual meaning. Namely, 7 is the number of perfection, and 70 is 10 times 7. Therefore, 70 times is like repeating the perfection 10 times. Plus, there is another 7 times, which means the perfection of perfection. It means limitless forgiveness, namely perfect forgiveness and love. When I preached about mercy and forgiveness in the prayer center, I preached about forgiveness about those people who sin against us. We should have mercy on people who do wrong to us. And we explained about that with some parables, and we repented of our that we couldn't have mercy. And after the service, there was one member who remained in the sanctuary. So I asked her what was the matter. Then she said she received the grace from the message, and she said for a long time ago, I don't know when, but a long time ago, my daughter took money from me, and it was a great amount of money. She borrowed money from me for her business, and she went abroad for business, and she failed in business, and she didn't say anything about the money until now. So I asked where she is. Then she said she's living with her daughter, and she said she couldn't forgive her. So she repented before God. Father God, I couldn't forgive my daughter, my own daughter. Please forgive me. She repented that with tears. Brothers and sisters, if you have unforgiveness, if you the heart that you cannot forgive someone, please repent before New Year starts. Well, there is the words, nothing is impossible in my word. So likewise, we have obligation. I mean, we do not have the word of forgiveness in our life. We only have to forgive others. Jesus told us to do so because Jesus already has in his heart his perfect forgiveness and love. He has added it since the moment he was divided out from the original part of Father God. Therefore, how more perfect the forgiveness and love that are in God's heart will be. But some people do not really understand the love of God and think that God just judges only according to justice, and he just even destroys the race or nation immediately. But if you contemplate on the Bible, you can realize how deep God's love is, even to think where is the love end point of the God's forgiveness and compassion. For example, Jeremiah 18, 7 and 8 says, "At one moment I might speak concerning the nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it." As said, in fact, God once planned to destroy the city of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, which was an enemy of Israel, but he relented. Sin was prevalent in the city, and their evil was so great that it reached God. So God proclaimed the destruction of the city through prophet Jonah. Then not only the people, but also the king, his subjects of the city, and even livestock fasted and repented of their sins. Then we find Jonah in Jonah 3:10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Our God is full of grace and compassion, and he is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Ezekiel 33:14 through 16 also says, "But when I say to the wicked, we will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices the justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, works by his statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness, he shall surely live." Likewise, our God the Father does not punish even evil people immediately because he has the love to save even the evil ones. He always gives chances of repentance to them. If they just truly repent, he forgives them without delay, and he does not remember all the sins they committed. In 2 Kings chapter 20, King Hezekiah was deceased to death. But when he repented before God, his life was extended for 15 more years. Also, his son Manasseh acted in evil, worshipping idols. But when he was taken as a captive in chains, he humbled himself and repented, and God listened to him and made him the king again. Jesus explained this limitless forgiveness and love of God the Father, comparing it with a father who accepts his prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. A son received his inheritance in advance and left his father. This son finally went back home. He said in Luke 15:18-19, "I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" When the son, who had become like a beggar, came back home, his father recognized him from afar, and he ran to him and warmly received him. The reason why his father could recognize his son even from a distance was because he always cherished his son in his heart and waited for the son to come back every day. He felt pity for his son because he could understand what kind of suffering his son had grown through. He had pity for his son. But how was the heart of his brother? He didn't feel pity for his brother. His brother didn't feel good about his brother, but his father was different. It can apply to us the same. When you see someone, there is people who leave a church because of a person and then comes back for something. And these people say, I still cannot forgive that person. And then this is the heart, like the heart that the older brother have, the older brother of this prodigal son. We have to have the heart, like the father's heart, the pitiful heart, because we were also prodigal son. So we have to have pity for each one. So the father embraced his son's neck and kissed him. The father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Then he said, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. This father truly loved his son. He was the father who was full of goodness, love. And whose father is he? He is our father. He is my father. At the time, this father's older son was coming back from the field. When he heard the news about this celebration, he was angry and he didn't want to go in. So the father came and urged him. But the son spoke out words of complaint. Look, for so many years, I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet, you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. He meant he served his father at his side and he didn't receive any reward. But when the younger son who lost the fortune of the father came back, the father gave him a party with a calf and this hurt his feelings. When the father showed goodness and love, this older son was offended and disappointed. I hope any of you may be like this son. But the father also comforted this older son who was complaining with a narrow mind and advised him with love. Luke 15:31 and 32 say, and he said to him, son, you have always been with me and all that is mine is yours, but we have been celebrating and rejoiced for this brother of yours was dead and was begun to live and was lost and has been found. If the older son could understand the love of father, even a little bit, and if he had the slightest love and compassion for his younger brother, he wouldn't have had that kind of complaints. Rather, when he heard that his younger brother came back, he would have rejoiced and enjoyed the party together, saying, oh, my dear brother came back. Our Jesus showed us even greater love than this. Jesus, in the position of older brother, understood the heart of the father who always kept on worrying about the younger son and waiting for him to come back. So Jesus himself also worried about and waited for his younger brother who left home. And when he talked to the father, he always remembered the good points of his younger brother and talked about them to comfort the heart of the father with good deeds. Good works. Also, he didn't just stay home, but went out to look for his brother. He finally found out that his younger brother was alive, but he had great debt and became a slave in another household. For him to be released, he had to pay back such a great amount of money. Still, Jesus paid all the debt of his brother as the older son, so that his brother could come back to the father again. It was not all. He interceded and asked the father for the forgiveness of his younger brother's sin on his behalf. When Jesus was doing his public ministry on this earth, he always followed his habit and prayed to the Father regularly. Once while our senior pastor was in deep prayer at the time of beginning of the church, God let him know what he prayed for one day. Let me introduce to you some parts of it. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven for the whole day, and at night he was praying on a hill, and it was raining. The rain wetted Jesus' clothes. The rain also washed the rocks, wetted the grass and plants, and it flowed through the land. It was a cold night, and the rain cooled down Jesus' body even more and made it cold. But still, Jesus prayed to the Father, shedding hot tears as followed. Father, I thank you at this hour, shedding my tears, for there are people who will preach for me, although there is one who will forsake me. There are those who will suffer with me and also those who will glorify you, Father, because of me. Father, you didn't let me suffer alone, but you are with me. Even though it is hard for this son to offer this body for all men and for the Father, I still thank you that there are those who know me. As I know you, Father, there are those who know me too, Father. Thank you. Father, thank you. I was with you, Father, before the beginning of time, and I was at your glorious side. But you, Father, sent me for all men. And Father, you know that this son is cold, hungers, and has many sufferings now. Father, at this hour, I thank you for that you let me shed these tears of love for the Father and for all men. When Jesus prayed like above, God the Father gave him a word, comforted him, and strengthened him. Our Jesus gave thanks that he could sacrifice himself for us, and he always prayed to the Father for all men. Even when Jesus was going, our loving senior pastor is praying for us even now, I believe. Even when Jesus was going through the sufferings of the cross, he still prayed to the Father in intercession for those who were persecuting and mocking him and those who were crucifying him. We can see this clearly in the Bible. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And this intercession of Jesus is continuing even to this day. The throne of the Lord in heaven is on the right hand of the Father God. It is full of lights of glory and it is shining with golden lights. Our Lord declines to sit on that throne in order to pray continually in intercession for us. God let our senior pastor know while in deep prayer about the contents of this prayer of the Lord at the beginning time of the church. And I will introduce to you some parts of it. My Father, all the bright glory of the Father is too precious to be compared with any sunshine in the morning, and grace is overflowing. I pray that you will take care of everything of all the souls, show your compassion to all men with your overflowing grace. Forgive all sins with the grace of the Father, and lead all men to reach salvation by the atoning blood of the Lamb. Let not one soul fall away from salvation. Father, cleanse all their iniquities and sins with my precious blood. Our Lord is offering this kind of prayer up to the Father even to this hour. When you commit sins and repent before God, how great is the afflictions you have in your heart. How sorry and embarrassed do you feel before God, and how much do you tear your heart with tears while praying. Our Lord says he cannot help but shed his tears every single day because he is praying about all the sins of all mankind. I hope you will surely remember that you and I are living with the prayer of the love of our Lord, and that so many souls can gain salvation and be thankful for this. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I try to explain about the depths of the love of God and the length of the love. But it is so deep and long that I think I couldn't even explain one hundredth of it. As I said in the beginning of the message, although the love of God has no limit to its depths, you can understand it only as much as you feel and experience it. When you think of this love of God, what kind of a person should we be? There's a person who is good-hearted. When I was ministering in a neighboring country, I saw a musical play titled A Young Lady Selling Flowers. This lady is going the way of affliction. This play is about that lady and selling flowers. She's helping her family for living. And I heard that this play was made by Kim Il-sung. Anyways, it is very famous musical play in North Korea. It's very sad and sorrowful story of a lady. And I saw some people wiping tears as watching the play. But this person I mentioned is very good-hearted, so he could hush tears while watching the play. But when someone did wrong to him, he could not forgive. Because he didn't have love for love of Father God, he couldn't remember that he was forgiven by the grace of Father God. So he couldn't forgive those who did wrong to him. I feel sorry for him because he couldn't forgive others. Suppose somebody did something wrong to you and you forgive him, but he did the same thing to you again. Now, let us say you thought, I forgave him last time, and without knowing that grace, he does the same thing to me again. I cannot forgive him this one. Then this, you know, this, even though you know, knowledge you wise, that you have forgive others 70 times 7, but you don't understand the heart of love contained in that word. But our senior pastor said, if I think of the grace and love that I received from the Father, there is no member, worker, or even pastor whom I cannot forgive. Even when some people committed such grave sins that cannot be understood and left the church, I only wanted them to repent and come to salvation. I never thought they deserved to be punished in the destruction or for committing even such grave sins. Also, when some people had committed sins and left the church and came back again later, I always welcomed them warmly. I didn't think of the sins they had committed before, and I treated them just like the other people. Of course, because God is living and His word is true itself, God paid me back with greater and more amazing love. Our senior pastor's thought like this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's almost the end of the year. This year, we've been through a time of fiery trial that we've never experienced before. Through this time, we showed each one's work to God. That work is the work of unchanging faith, work of faithfulness, work of patience and prayer. However, even though we've been keeping and piling all this work, if we lack of work of love, it's nothing. Jesus said to forgive your brother up to 70 times 7, and Colossians 3:13-14 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we Ma-min have been overcoming the times of trials of blessing that we couldn't even imagine before. Then what kind of unimaginable blessings are waiting for us, Ma-min, in 2020? God refined Job, Abraham, and then He surely gave blessings, amazing blessings to them after refinement. So I believe that there are unimaginable blessings waiting for us in 2020. I pray in the name of the Lord that the deep love of Father God and our Lord Jesus may fill our hearts through this message so that we can prepare for the time of blessings.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command. The enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.